This episode of Cinema Recall contains adult language, adult situations, some spoilers, and some brief nudity, so listener discretion is advised. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Cinema Recall Podcast. I'm your host, The Vern, and for the month of April and going forward, we are going to do stuff differently for this podcast. Instead of just reviewing a bunch of different movies, we are going to pick just one movie to review. And the movie for April that we have chosen is Barry Lyndon. And to join me to talk about this 1975 feature directed by Stanley Kubrick is the one and only Mary Mitchell from the podcast Whatever with Jason Soto. Hello, Mary Mitchell.
Hey, what's up? What's up, everybody listening? Thank you for having me on. This is great.
I am so honored. So I listened to the podcast Whatever with Jason Soto for like a while now. And I've noticed on the show that you have mentioned many times that you are a big fan of Barry Lyndon.
Oh, yeah. It's my favorite movie of all time. See, like, I don't think I've ever seen a movie that I've been more blown away by than Barry Lyndon.
So I have to ask you this, Mary. When did you first see Barry Lyndon?
I saw it in February of 2015. Now, I have been a big Kubrick fan for, like, most of my life. And I never got around to seeing it because I didn't think that I would like it. I thought it was, you know, it was like one of those movies like, oh, I'll get around to it one day. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I want to see this because I want to see all of Kubrick's movies. I didn't know what I was expecting. And it was like the greatest day when I first saw it. It was amazing. I've watched it like countless times since then.
You know, I'm the same way too, because I know the first movie I saw of Kubrick's was A Clockwork Orange. And I saw that movie when I was way too young to have watched that movie.
Yeah.
Because my dad had a habit of recording movies on VHS, like, all the time. He just recorded movies. And there's one movie I really liked called The Explorers with Ethan Hawke and River Phoenix. And I was a big fan of that movie. And my dad put A Clockwork Orange after that movie on the same tape. So when I was watching,
a little jarring.
After watching Explorers, the credits come up there. I'm like, oh, I can just stop the movie and not worry about it. But then one time, I decided to let the movie play because I was like grabbing some food.
Right.
And then our Clockwork Orange comes on.
It's like, how old were you? Like,
oh gosh, at least like around 11 years old, 11, 12.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I knew that was a movie that I shouldn't be watching, so I kind of had to wait until the parents were asleep to watch that movie.
Yeah, wow. I didn't see that one until I was, like, 20, I think.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. So then after that, you know, then I watched probably The Shining when I was, like, 13, 14, and then I watched 2001 yeah. Space Odyssey and
yeah.
Full Metal Jacket. And it wasn't until I was in my late 20s when I finally got around to seeing Barry Lyndon for the first time. And I'm kind of glad I saw it when I was a little bit older, because if I was a kid, I probably would appreciate the movie.
I wanted to see it, like, I had seen The Shining in 2001, and Kubrick is, like, you know, such an amazing director that I was like, well, this one's also set in the 18th century, and, like, I love history, like it's my thing, and I wanted to see it because of that, and I was completely blown away by it. It's an amazing movie. Yeah. I can't say enough good stuff about Barry Lyndon.
Yeah, it's so weird too, because I mean, this guy made 2001: A Space Odyssey, that sort of like revolutionized science fiction movies,
right?
And he in a way he kind of like predicted space travel and like the future of things in film. And then for Barry Lyndon, he's going back to the past and actually showing the past. He's like a time traveler that goes back
yeah.
to this time period and just captures everything about it so with such detail.
It's so uncanny. Like, it really, like, I've seen, and this is like my thing, I've made like this quest in my life to see, to track down historically accurate movies. And Barry Lyndon is like amazing. It like you feel like you're actually watching like what it was back then. Like if you went into a time machine and went back to the 18th century and the costumes, the landscape, like everything about it is like so spot on and accurate. Like that's one of the things that I love about it.
Well, one of the things we definitely want to talk about in these series of episodes is just about how the movie looks like a painting that's come to life.
Oh my God, every single shot. Like there is not, you could pause it at any given moment in that movie and have a beautiful painting. Like it's incredible. It's definitely like the most aesthetically brilliant movie I've ever seen. Looks good on a really big TV.
Yeah, well, him and his cinematographer John Alcott really took a lot of patience in making the cinematography look like it would happen in those days, like everything lit by candlelight or
by natural daylight
has just been astounding. And no other movie has come close. They've tried. They tried really well. I remember the movie The Favorite that was out in 2017. I'm bad with the years when it comes to movies, but I know that one tried to incorporate a lot of the lighting of Barry Lyndon. And in the same way, too, Sofia Coppola's Marie Antoinette really tried to capture that as well.
I liked that one too, though. That was a fun movie. But yeah, with Barry Lyndon, he got like the special lens that they used from NASA.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's so cool, especially for like what 1975 that movie came out.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really impressive. And see, I saw the thing that really hooked me on Kubrick was when I saw 2001: A Space Odyssey, because you ever get like that movie high when you see like a really good movie and it almost like blows you in another dimension. You're like so impressed, you almost feel high from it like all day. I love that feeling. It's like one of my favorite feelings. And when I saw 2001: A Space Odyssey, it gave me that feeling, and I was like, holy crap, like this is incredible. And I got that feeling tenfold after I watched Barry Lyndon, because it's like the most unique type of movie. And it's not even just that it's aesthetically beautiful and that, you know, historically accurate and all that, but it's also got things deeper under the surface that I think are fucking brilliant. I'm sorry, I don't swear.
This is I tell you, there's gonna be language on this fucking podcast. Okay. Get used to it, people. All right. Can we talk about Barry fucking Lyndon? And we both love this movie very much, and that's fucking right.
So, yeah, no, it's got like this weird storytelling device that they do, and which I think is unbelievably brilliant, which I didn't actually notice it the first couple of times I saw it. And I read an essay about it, about the unreliable narrator. I think that's brilliant. The movie has a narrator.
I love the narrator because he sort of like tells you in advance what's going to happen.
And he's
to the character.
Yeah. And it's like, who is this guy? He's like the most unreliable narrator of unreliable narrators, because he is just this disembodied voice that you don't know why this man is telling you all this. He seems to not like Barry. Like it seems he has like this snobbish way of regarding Barry, just like the whole movie does, which kind of makes you start to believe that Barry isn't a good person, or he's just a ruffian or whatever. But the film itself tells you a different story. Like I feel like what the film is doing and what the narrator is telling you don't match up. And I think that's brilliant. Like it just, you know, two different angles. Like I feel like the narrator has like the same sense of disdain for Barry Lyndon, Lord Bullingdon did. And
I'm very curious to read the book, because this is based on a book by William McPeace Thackeray.
Yeah.
And so I have no idea if the tone of the book is the same tone that the narrator does. So I'm kind of curious.
I guess it's a lot different from the film. I think the book is actually narrated and it's in first person by Barry Lyndon himself.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a lot different than the movie. And I think that The fact that Kubrick went with that narration. The narration is what intrigues me the most. It's so like I said before, it's like he's unreliable.
Well,
And
yeah, I mean, if you're gonna have like the book be done in first person narration by Redmond Barry and then Barry Lyndon, if you have that narration from him and then versus the narration from an outside source, the tones of both pieces are gonna be very different from each
right.
other. So that's fascinating. I
Yeah.
so we're
And
definitely gonna
it's
go into more of that too.
yeah, that's like a whole other thing. But the movie's definitely biased against its own character, which I find absolutely brilliant. I like it does not root for Barry whatsoever. The whole tone of the movie is, look at this ruffian trying to climb his way to the top. But when you actually watch it, it's like, well, if the narrator wasn't there, what kind of image would you get of Barry? Like, I just think that's so brilliant that Kubrick decided to do that.
Yeah, I can't really imagine the movie without the narrator because without him there, you're right. Redmond Barry would seem to be kind of the hero of his own story, and I never found Redmond Barry to be a likable guy. I just found it very funny and humorous how he gets away with stuff in this feature.
I thought that too. Like when I first watched it, my husband and I watched it, and I was like, "Well, Barry Lyndon's not like a good guy, and he's like trying to climb to the top, and he's a swindler and all that." But at the same time, he it's kind of like what the movie wants you to have the opinion of him, because if you take the deeds of Redmond Barry, he's not that bad. Like, he actually put himself in harm's way to save people that didn't like him.
Yeah.
And a couple of times he did that also with Grogan, his friend Grogan in the war. He carried him to safety. He cried over him. He refused to betray the Chevalier and instead worked with him because he didn't want to betray one of his countrymen. He loved his son, like,
True, yeah.
unconditionally, and the death of his son destroyed him. And like, he did have his bad qualities, like he was a swindler with the Chevalier and he cheated at cards. But how else are you really supposed to advance yourself in a society like that without doing things like that? Like, he
True.
and all and for all it's worth, for all the effort that he put into trying to climb his way to the top, to be on the top, he fell super hard. That, nothing ever worked out for him in the end. And I always thought Barry Lyndon was, it's like the movie kind of wants you to think that he's this bad guy, but the and it's also, if you notice, I think it's interesting that whenever Barry is doing something good, like saving someone's life, doing anything in the war, anything good, the narrator does not say anything. The narrator really only talks about Barry when he's doing something wrong.
That, you know what, that's funny. I don't think I ever caught that before. But you have a definitely good point there, Mary. Barry Lyndon
Yeah.
himself, Redmond Barry, is a very complex character. He's a character that does a lot of really good things, but he also does a lot of, like, really bad things, too. And yes, we're going to get spoilers in this, folks, but I like the part in the narration where the narrator says, well, Barry Lyndon is going to become penniless and childless. Very
Yeah.
soon, and there seems to
Yeah.
be like kind of a gleeful joy in the narrator's voice about
Yeah,
that.
and he lets you know that before it even happens. Like, that's a rare thing for a movie to do, being like, this character is going to die penniless and childless and, miserable. And I feel like it just sets the tone. Like, it's like, yeah, I think that movie is so complex. And also, Barry Lyndon himself, Redmond Barry, if you think about it, is one of the only characters in that movie that truly loves. When Barry Lyndon loves somebody in that movie, he loves them. Like, he loved Nora. He loved his son.
Yeah.
He loved his mother. He loved the Chevalier. Like he's not as bad as the movie tries to make him out to be. Like, I feel like the movie is like looking down at him, like, look at this low class ruffian trying to be a part of high society. He's not, and he's never going to be, and
I do find it kind of funny though, because at the beginning of the movie, Redmond Barry is from an Irish background, and when the British soldiers come in, he's in love with his cousin. She ends up falling in love with this captain of the British Guard, and they have a duel to for him to kill the guy. And then when he does, he goes into hiding, And then he actually turns out to actually become a British soldier. So he's
Yeah,
become a
and
part of
then by
something that he doesn't like.
and yeah, the and then he became a Prussian soldier and
Yeah.
well, soldier for the Prussians, I suppose, but yeah, and also I feel like that movie just like Barry's story is so sad. Like it's actually like that movie has my favorite scene in any movie of all time. I get goosebumps like just watching it.
What
Is the
scene?
scene with the highwayman, Captain Feeney, when he robs Barry in the beginning, when he sets out to his journey,
Oh, that scene's
like he takes
hilarious.
his. I love that scene. I think it is gorgeous. It has the sad like flute in the background into the whole thing. It's like it's so completely out of Barry's hands and he can't do anything about it. And then they have that shot of him afterwards walking down that long, long landscape with no horse, just sad as all hell, like just walking, no chance. Like it's so, that movie's devastating. If I had to pick a move, like a word to describe it, and if you wrap it all up, would be devastating. It's
Fair enough
a
there.
sad movie.
Oh, I definitely see the sadness of it, but I also when I watch it, I can definitely see a lot of the humorous of it, especially when he gets robbed by the probably the nicest robbers I have ever seen before. These guys are just like really just like gentle and kind, and Redmond's like, "Hey, buddy, can you allow me to keep my horse? You know, that's all the money I have in the world." It's like, "Huh, I appreciate you had the saddest story I ever heard in my life, and I thank you for that, but we have to be faster than our clients, so no, I'm
Yeah.
afraid I cannot do that, sir." You know, but they're like very being very kind and very gentle about the whole thing. They're like, "Excuse me,
Yeah.
sir, I'm going
Very
to rob you
polite robbery.
now. Please don't mind me. I'm going to be very kind about this, but I'm going to take your money now and your horse and chip chip cheerio. Hope everything's fine there." Yes. Now, really quickly though, to our audience members who are getting kind of confused about us talking about certain scenes of this movie, maybe I should just give a little quick introduction about this movie. So I'm taking this right from Google here. All right. So, Barry Lyndon is this: an acclaimed adaptation of William Makepeace Thackeray's novel, in which a likable young Irishman changes into a conniving, manipulative rogue. The protagonist finds himself homeless after taking part in a fated duel, and then is captured by a Prussian highwayman and meets up with a spy, but his fortune changes when he marries a wealthy titled woman in order to secure his future. And the movie, like I said before, directed by Stanley Kubrick, and it stars Ryan O'Neal as the title character, Marissa Benjamin as Lady Lydia, Patrick McGee as the Chevalier. It won Academy Awards for Best Production Design and for Best Cinematography. It won award for Best Costume Design as well, but did not take home Best Picture that year, which I do not know what the Best Picture that year is. But that's okay. I will find that out at a later episode. If you know, listeners, maybe you can just put that in the comments here, which won the Academy Award for that year. But yeah, very well-regarded movie, and it just, I don't know why it took so long for me to actually watch it, because when people think about Kubrick, they think about 2001, they think about The Shining,
Yeah,
Clockwork
it's
Orange.
always put on the back burner as far as Kubrick movies go.
I remember there was like a box set of Kubrick movies that came out to Blu-ray, and Barry Lyndon was not in the set.
Wow, the shade.
Yeah. Of the
Wow.
movies that really should have been on Blu-ray. In fact, it took a while. I mean, I had to buy the Criterion Edition to buy this movie on Blu-ray because it wasn't featured
Wow.
in the sets. It is now, but just for a while, it was never put onto Blu-ray right away.
I feel like people were more like Roger Ebert really said it best in his review of the movie is that a lot of people will might find it boring, but he said he had little sympathy for that opinion because I feel like I agree with that because I feel like the movie's anything but boring, but I feel like it kind of glosses everybody by because it doesn't, I think people are put off maybe by the historical setting.
Yeah, this looks like a movie that people feel like they have to watch, like a school project, just because
Right.
of the way it looks. Because most people are going to look at this movie and think, "Aw, it's a period piece. That means just a bunch
Right.
of boring clothes and people talking and all British and boring and everything, and everything's got to be all posh, posh, pip, pip, cheerio, and stuff like that. And that's not really the case at all. I mean, it opens with a pretty cool gunfight. There's a lot of humor. It's paced very well. This movie is 3 hours long. I just watched it again last night, and it goes by pretty fast.
Oh,
So.
it definitely does not drag in any part. I feel like any scene in the movie is good. Like there's no part where I find myself like it's slogging or anything like that. Like
I would just say it.
I don't think I can say anything that I could find negative about the movie or to take anything away from
If people can watch a 4 hour version of Justice League,
it. Yes.
all right,
Yes.
you can
You
definitely do
can
like,
watch multiple movies about the same character.
yeah,
Watch
and
Barry Lyndon.
trust me, a lot of things about Justice League. It was a okay movie, but a lot of things about that movie kind of drained a little bit for me. But that's a different story for a different time. I'm not gonna just dive into my thoughts about Justice League that much there. So what we're gonna be doing for the next several episode folks is that we're gonna be kind of dividing this movie into parts. So this movie actually has two parts and an epilogue. So for the next few episodes, we are gonna be covering part one, which is how Redmond Barry rises up in society, and then part two is his downfall. So for part one, we're going to be doing two separate episodes on that, and then part two, we're going to be recording two episodes on that. And I first I thought doing like kind of a scene by scene podcast, but no, that's going to take too long. That's going to be
Right.
really long and drawn out. But I think that if we just do four episodes basically on both part ones and part twos, and we definitely want to talk about how the film was shot. We definitely want to talk about the history of the guy who wrote the book and of that time period. Definitely want to talk about the actors involved with this feature, and just really just kind of like dive into this movie in a little bit more detail. I just want to just get our general thoughts about this movie for this quick little introductory episode, and I have to agree with Mary. I think this movie is great. I find the movie to be one of those like long movies that I can watch again and again, and it doesn't
Yeah.
seem like a long movie. And I like the fact that it is very historically accurate of the times, and I definitely want to get into more talking to you about the historical accuracy of it, because I can tell that the filmmakers took a lot of time and care into making these scenes and these actors appear very realistically. In fact, the only time the movie ever has any handheld, most of the movie is done in just zooms and pans. It's framed just like a painting. The only time there ever is any handheld is when Barry Lyndon is fighting Lord Bullingdon. That's it, the only time
Yeah,
it's ever
was there
handheld.
handheld in the scene also where he was fighting that big guy with the scar on
I
his?
think you're right about. I gotta watch that scene
Yeah.
over again. I think you're right about that. There was no
Yeah.
handheld for that one too. I just noticed the scene with Lord Bullingdon just to be much more like, whoa, wow, this is just totally changes the tone of this feature.
Yeah. I
So,
love that scene.
yes. I just want to ask you, Mary. Just we forgot to do this in the beginning of the show. I wanted to ask you to talk about your show that you're on, whatever with Jason
Oh
Soto,
yes.
and just kind of give
Whatever with
listeners,
Jason Soto.
yeah,
Yeah,
whatever with Jason Soto, just give your listeners little tidbits of what you do on that show.
Okay, so we do this podcast called Whatever with Jason Soto with my great friend Jason Soto, who I've known for a very long time. He's a hilarious dude. He asked me to be the co-host, which I was thrilled about. I still am. And it's a funny show. It's a lighthearted show. We don't get into things too deeply. We just kind of talk, let our conversation just ramble on whatever we're doing, wherever it goes. And sometimes we play games. We've had guests on. It's a great time. We make a mixtape every week and we have a great Facebook group going. You guys should check it out. It's a fun time. And interact with the Facebook page. That's always fun. Make a poll, post memes, whatever. you want to do. But yeah, the podcast is a good time.
What I love best about the podcast is I find myself agreeing and disagreeing with you guys' thoughts about stuff. And I love it because sometimes I'll listen to your views, opinions on a movie. I'm like, oh, Mary, you didn't like this. Oh, no. But then you'll go into something completely, go into a review about a different movie or like your thoughts about cancel culture. I'm like, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. You know?
I have a lot of controversial opinions, I think. I've faced a lot of heat for my opinions on things, but I stand by them. They're my opinions.
And I appreciate that very much. And, you know, here's the thing, folks. People are going to have a difference of opinions on things, but yet I consider Mary to be a very good friend. You know, we may not agree on stuff, and that's okay, all right? No one has to agree on everything.
Absolutely. I feel like I can be friends with anybody. I mean, if you don't – say if – most hated thing in the world is Barry Lyndon. I wouldn't care. I'd actually love to hear you talk about it. You know?
I love to hear that thing too, you know? Like, you can talk about stuff like, well, Stanley Kubrick was a guy, horrible filmmaker who treated his actors like crap. I mean, look what he did to Shelley Duvall in The Shining. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
Fair enough there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had Shelley Duvall in my mind right there. I had Shelley Duvall in my mind because I just rewatched Time Bandits with her in there. And I'm thinking, oh, wow. Oh. Yeah.
Good old Shelley Duvall. I quite like her.
Yeah. Her in that movie, and then also Popeye. Come on now.
She's great.
Exactly. Fairy Tale Theater, all that stuff there. But yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I don't even want to give a rating for Barry Lyndon because I'm going to give it 5 stars, and I'm pretty sure Mary's going to give the same score too.
Oh, yeah.
Doing it at the Oscar. See, there you go. But I just wanted to give this is going to be a quick little introductory episode, just talking a little bit about the movie. Get ready for part one, which is going to happen in probably a few weeks or so, maybe. I'm not quite sure about time here. We're going to stress that off air. But as always, please listen to past episodes of Cinema Recall. We are available on Stitcher, Spotify, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, most places you can find podcasts. Our website is cinemarecall.net. Our Twitter page is @cinema_recall. Now, if you are a Patreon subscriber, you are going to be getting a bonus episode with me and Donnie of formerly the Cage to Kids podcast, now a Videorama. Me and him talk about the sequel to Poltergeist, which is Poltergeist 2, The Other Side. So me and him had a pretty good conversation about that episode, about that movie. You can find that episode on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cinemarecallpod. And also should give a shout out to our Patreon subscribers like we always do. First of all, I want to thank Mr. Jason Soto from Whatever with Jason Soto.
Hey, Jason.
Thank you for being a supporter of us. Gotta thank Jeanette Miller-Mickenham from AKA Jeanette. Thank you very much. Gotta thank Matt and Ashley from Mashley at the Movies. Appreciate that very much, gentlemen. And then we gotta thank Mr. Donnie Roberts of Videorama. Donnie Roberts is our $10 tier Patreon subscriber, which means that he gets to pick a different topic to talk about for each episode. So you can pick a movie, but it doesn't have to be about movies. It can be just about anything you want it to be. So on one episode, Donnie and I and his sister Linda talked about the movie Prince of Darkness by John Carpenter, but then we also talked about rave toilets. So we can just talk about whatever you want to talk about. Just join us up right there. Anyways, that's going to wrap up this episode of Cinema Recall. My big thank you to my co-host for this episode, Mary Mitchell. I can't thank you enough, Mary.
Thanks for having me on. It's awesome.
Perfect. All right, guys. We will see you later.
Bye.